Hello and welcome to the 18th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. We're finally back! On today's episode, we get another bio lesson from Casey, learn about some potentially hazardous items in your house for pets, and of course discuss two more favorites and kick off our African adventures with our first animal of the week. Don't forget to follow us on social media to keep up to date and see pictures of all the animals we discuss in the podcast. Episode 18 of the Animal Addicts podcast starts right now. Hello and welcome to the 18th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Sally.
And Casey.
And we're going to talk about a whole new gaggle of animals today.
Gaggle?
Yeah. That's like a gaggle of geese, but I just like gaggle.
I was going to say, that's more specific.
It is specific, but I just like it. So I'm going with it.
All right.
We've missed you. It's been a long time. I've missed you, Casey, and I've also missed the podcast because COVID. Anyway, so we're finally getting to record our African episodes. So, Casey, what have you been up to in the lengthy amount of time since I last saw you?
So, I had a problem at my house. Mm-hmm. Well, not really my problem because it's not my plants.
Okay.
My sister had a little garden, and she was growing bell peppers, and I was working on my insect collection one day and decided to go through the plants in the yard. Then I found aphids on her bell pepper.
Oh no, do they eat them?
Yeah, they were sucking on the bell pepper.
Ew, that's
well that's what they do. They stick there, they put their rostrum in, just start drinking.
Oh.
Yeah. And what was worse is there were also ants there.
Ew.
And they'll actually have a symbiotic relationship in which the ants will guard over the aphids.
Yeah, why?
Because the aphids, they drink the phloem, which is basically the sap of the plant.
Okay.
So it's full of sugar and a lot of water. So they
pee it out.
Yeah. And one of the things they filter out is honeydew, which is very, basically, it's a lot of sugar and water that they pee out.
Is it like honeydew melon or it's just called honeydew?
It's just called honeydew.
Okay. Is that why?
And
was
so,
honeydew melon named after aphid pee?
I have no clue.
Because I really like honeydew melon, but like now I'm a little bit.
Oh, I could ruin so much
stuff
for you.
I don't want to.
Want to know about figs?
Nope. I don't want to know.
We're going to talk about figs one day.
So nasty. I mean, truly though, every time you go in the ocean, you're just swimming around and all the animals poop and pee and everything.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyways, and then the ants will get to eat the honeydew that the aphids produce, and then they will basically be like little farmers guarding over their flock of aphids.
Yeah. That's funny. It's like they're like milking them.
Yeah, that's. I put that in a report once.
Aphids
like,
are the cows to the ants.
Yep.
Good times. But I'm assuming the aphids then kill the plant. Is that what happens?
Eventually, but it takes a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do to get rid of them? Because you don't want to use a pesticide.
I didn't do anything. It ain't my plant.
Yeah. Wow.
Also, there's some pesticides are perfectly fine as long as you use them appropriately.
No, I'd be worried about them.
Yeah. Yeah, there's proper ways to do it because there's a lot of people that are too much anti-pesticide. And then, of course, one of the solutions to pesticides is GMOs. And then those people also tend to be against GMOs. Yeah. Like over in Europe. Shows that Americans aren't the only idiots out there. Because over in Europe, the whole EU has banned GMOs.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Because and it's very stupid because there's this GMO, it's a modified rice called golden rice.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they were developing this is because over in a lot of places like China and other places of East Asia, they are very deficient on certain vitamins, including carotenoids, which are tied in with vitamin A, and so they were lots of high cases of blindness over there.
Mm.
And so golden rice has carotenoids in it that they're modified with the gene. I think it was either bacteria or possibly something's taken from a carrot. And so it produces these carotenoids, and so they're able to get all their vitamins when they eat the rice, because that's the predominant part of their diet. But yeah, and there's been instances where, like, protesters will break into labs and just destroy crops, and now there's, like, no GMO product research or productivity over in the European Union because it's just outright banned.
So dumb.
Yes, especially when you think about, like, how food insecurity is a big problem nowadays.
It's crazy, but, you know, whatever. Ugh, the world. The world. Speaking of the world being annoying, I got COVID, everyone, because our numbers in California are freaking ridiculous. I was exposed at work, and I found out about that, and unfortunately, my parents were on their way out from Arizona on the road for a few hours when I found out about the exposure. So I called them, and we decided to go ahead with Thanksgiving, which was just a really small gathering. We just had five of us total, and we just decided we'd, you know, try to be careful. And I had no symptoms. I was only going to get tested because I was exposed. So day after Thanksgiving, I go get tested, and everything's fine. And then a few days later, I get my results back, and it's positive. So immediately I'm like, oh shit. I'm making more editing for myself, but fuck. That's basically what is in my head. And it was just a crazy turn of events too, because my parents were going back to Arizona and they were gonna adopt a dog, hopefully. They were going to check out a dog the day they got back to Arizona, which I think was Sunday, yeah. So they're literally going to the shelter to look at this dog, and I called them and was like, call me back immediately. And then they get the dog, and I'm like, so I tested positive. So I was like, you need to go get tested. So we had to get our whole family tested, and my mom came back negative, and my dad came back positive. So because of my living situation, it's not easy to quarantine at my house, so I had to actually drive to Arizona, because at my parents' house, it's much easier to quarantine. So I was locked in the guest room, and then there's like a little hallway in the guest bathroom. And they did get the dog. So we literally have like a doggy gate, like a kid gate, and the dog would look at me like, why are you over there? Because he couldn't come in and play with me. I could only go pet him if I had like freshly washed my hands, was wearing my mask. Then I could go pet him, but other than that, I couldn't.
See, if that was me, I know I would put one gate and then a second gate that's 10 feet away.
No. And he would just look at me, and he didn't understand why I was there. And then my parents' results came back while they were there. So they got the results, and I went and got my retest. And my dad came back positive, my mom came back negative. So then when I got my cleared test, then we switched and my dad went into the quarantine room. And then I, of course, came back and went back to work and everything. But so COVID's no joke. I had a really lucky time with it, but the fact is the numbers are insane right now. I remember before it was like, oh, I know someone who knows someone who got it. And now it's like, I know six people who have it.
Yeah.
And I was one of them. So, and it just goes to show how dangerous it is, because I was basically asymptomatic. I had one day where I was super dizzy and I was stumbling around the house like a drunk. And that was it. Other than that, I had a really low-grade fever. I also have sinus issues all the time. So, theoretically, I could have had some COVID symptoms that were mild, but who would know?
Yeah.
So, point being, everybody, had I gotten my results before they were on the road, I would have canceled Thanksgiving. Because obviously then that spread to my dad. And then, you know, they went to the Humane Society not knowing. So theoretically, they could have, I mean, they still had their masks on and everything, but they could have spread it. Who knows, you know? So it's one of those things that, and the only reason I got tested is because I was exposed. So we have no idea how many asymptomatic people are out there, because why would they get tested? They feel fine. So anyway, wear your freaking mask. Stop being stupid. Don't have big family gatherings. And luckily for me, my bubble is small. So, of course, I had to contact Casey, who was one of the first people. I had to contact work, my parents first, then my work, and then Casey. And I was like, well, I'll have to get a new test and see. So I guess we can't record for a while. And then I had to contact my other small group of friends that I see. And luckily I hadn't been around you since I was exposed, and I hadn't been around them since I was exposed. So at least I didn't have to worry about, like, it's like an STD. It's like, go get tested.
Honestly, the ads I see on like Instagram and stuff, like, make sure you get tested, save someone's life. And it's like,
it's very STD-esque. But it's like kind of like that, except for I feel like this is more contagious. I don't feel like it is.
Yeah, it is.
You don't have to sleep with anyone. But anyway, but yeah, so luckily I wasn't around them a lot, so none of them had been exposed, but I had to let my little bubble know. But luckily, that's why you keep your bubble small. There were, like, you know, a total of, like, 6 people I had to tell, like, hey, stay away from me.
The advantages of being an introvert.
Truly. Truly. and then, of course, at work, they have to do a big ol' cleaning and everything. So.
Yeah. Recently, at my dad's work, I think it was my dad's work, the whole team of one of the drivers or something, I can't remember exactly, but they all had to go home because somebody tested positive.
It's crazy, and it really just, even if you're lucky enough like me where I didn't get sick, and to be fair though, like, we don't know the underlying, because a lot of people, not underlying, but a lot of people wind up with long-term issues who are perfectly healthy and didn't even have a hard time with it, but then they develop heart issues, they develop lung issues. So I haven't checked for any of that, but hopefully I'm okay. And my dad has underlying issues, so I was worried about that. But he also basically had no symptoms either. So, but yeah, it's crazy. And it just, even at the minimum, it just disrupts your life.
Yeah.
We're now going to be, oh, hello, COVID. COVID screen. we're now, you know, going to be releasing, as I've already announced, all of our Africa episodes, it should have been the whole month, are going to be released the week of Christmas, day after day. It's a challenge. And then you got to catch up on work and got to catch up on everything. And it's crazy. It just messes everything. And I had one day, Casey, oh my gosh, before I had gone to Arizona, and I really wanted Jersey Mike's. So I was like, okay, well, I know you can order online and have it delivered. And for whatever reason, the delivery did not go through. So I did through their app first, and then I was like, okay, I'll do, like, Postmates, which is going to cost more, but, like, whatever. And then I tried to do that, and it didn't. Stop, COVID screen. I'm sorry.
Quit your mannerisms.
It didn't go through. I'm sorry. Mannerisms. Oh, my God. And it didn't go through, and then I had this sad realization that, like, I just don't get Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
Because I can't go, because the only way to get it is to go walk into the store and pick it up. Because you can order it ahead and pick it up, but I can't walk into the store. So I was like, I can't do anything. Like, I have to order food. I think I wound up, like, ordering Panda Express. I gave them directions, like, just leave it at the top of the driveway.
I know, like, my friend, when he, like, goes, I can't remember what place it was, but when he goes to, like, pick up pizza that he orders, it leaves the trunk open for them to put the pizza in.
Yeah. I know there are, like, curbside pickups, but still, like, it's probably, if it's on me, it's probably on my car. So I don't want someone to have to, like, be exposed to that. I almost want to be like, put it on the ground 6 feet away, walk away, and we'll come out and get it. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have my mask on and all of that and all those precautions. But that's the thing, folks, is that we take a lot of precautions at my work. I wear gloves all day long. We're constantly putting hand sanitizer on our gloves. I wash my hands all the time anyway. I've always done that because when I see people who do stuff and then don't wash their hands before they eat, I, like, want to throw up. It's so nasty. So I always wash my hands. But 20 seconds. don't short that. I think I figured out where the contamination happened for me. And I think the issue is that I always wash my hands, but I don't actually count to 20. And now that I am making myself count to 20 every time, I'm like, oh, yeah, I wasn't counting to 20.
Have you seen, like, how on, like, Amazon websites like that, they've, like, some people are, like, jacking up prices of hand sanitizer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw, like, bottles of hand sanitizers upwards of $50.
That'll happen when they get a shortage, they do that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, in Arizona, they're just, like, flaunting their toilet paper and paper towels that you can't get.
No one lives there!
I know. I was just like, when I got my clearance, I then had to go and shop for my parents because now they can't go home.
Yeah.
And they had, like, just stocked everything, and then I could see in the back, and they just had pallets upon pallets, and they weren't even limiting it. You could get 2 things of the Costco-sized toilet papers. Anyway, it's crazy.
Well, the problem with that is people panic and then hoard.
I know. And I'm like, if you just buy normally, we'd all be fine.
Yeah.
But no, people are dumb. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but the point is, cautionary tale, everyone. It's very easy to get, and the numbers are so bad right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the other states are, but California, I know, is really bad right now. But it's pretty much everywhere because
we have too many people.
We do. But also, it's the, like, everyone wanted to do something for Halloween. Everyone wanted to do something for Thanksgiving. And now we're seeing the Thanksgiving issues.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful out there. Wear a mask. Just... the vaccine is here. We're getting closer.
Yeah.
We're getting closer.
I get kind of priority.
Kind of priority, yay!
But honestly, probably won't get massive inoculation until like this summer.
No, it won't be a while. I don't think we'll be back to any stage of normal.
Yeah. I'm graduating online, people.
It's so sad. I kind of just graduated online too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, I have to say this to like those people. It's like, at least it was only your last, like, quarter or semester and you enjoyed the rest of your college life. Because, like, I didn't even get a full year at my university because I went after.
Semester.
Oh, okay. She's in my boat then, too.
Yeah. She was a transfer as well. And she was at Northeastern, the one in Chicago.
Hmm.
I think that's Northeastern.
Yeah.
She was there. So she got to go to Chicago for, like, a semester. And it was all online. But anyway, yeah. So congratulations to Samantha.
Labs suck online, man.
I'm sure they do. Anywho, so that's that. I was gonna catch up on some Thanksgiving stuff, but then COVID happened and ruined everything, really.
Mm-hmm.
But on Thanksgiving, they do play a dog show, obviously, which is important because I just like to see dogs. Also, Tiger Lily fascinated with watching the dogs. She's like, "What is this?" But I learned how to actually pronounce a breed that I had used in my breed challenge for Casey, and that it definitely is French, which I should have gathered.
Francois.
No.
No.
And it, I think I pronounced it the Berger Picard, but it's the Berger Picard.
Berger.
Picard. So yeah, so now we know how to pronounce that. But yes, yeah, so to be careful with COVID, folks.
It's I always feel like dog show people are the worst. They're just so odd.
They are odd, but you're odd too, so they're just a different
Yes, but odd. I'm a fun odd. They're just straight up weird odd.
They're a little neurotic.
Cat breeders too.
Yeah, also neurotic.
Like, the Toyger is one breed, like,
mm-hmm.
I think it's perfectly fine how it looks. Like, you've done what you wanted to. It's like, no, because the reason they made the stinking Toyger, because they wanted a pet tiger, but you shouldn't.
Tiger, yeah.
And they wanted to look exactly like a miniature tiger.
With a little house cat. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although, if they could get the chief poofs, that would be the most important aspect. Because that's my favorite part.
I have to look it up, but like, I would love to have that cat, but I could not justify spending thousands of dollars on a cat.
I would never spend thousands of dollars on a pet anyway. There's plenty of them in the shelter who are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, anywho. Also, I will talk about my parents' dog later on because he's I love him so much. So anyway, but we'll save that for later. But Casey, I think you wanted to teach us something.
Yes. In fact, for the next few episodes, I'm pretty sure I'm teaching a bunch of destruction of the environment.
Great. Merry Christmas, all right. Everyone.
So.
Oh, and Hanukkah's already going.
Yes.
Is Hanukkah over already?
Actually, I think it is.
I think it's over already.
Yeah, I think Hanukkah is over.
Happy belated Hanukkah. Well, by the time this airs, definitely happy belated yes. Hanukkah. And Merry Christmas upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And Happy New Year. I mean, we all can't wait for that.
Joyce
one.
Yule.
Joyce Yule. Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, continue. I know.
Okay. Song. So, Allie, I want you to name what you first think of when I tell you invasive species.
Python. Reticulated python in Florida.
What else can you think of?
There's a bee species, right? It's really bad. Oh, also, what are those fucking, the cane toads in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cane toad. Am I supposed to just keep going?
Okay, that's good. That's good enough.
A mandarin duck, because they don't belong.
Well, those are introduced. They're not necessarily invasive.
Okay.
Yeah, the definition of an invasive species, if it's it's a non-native species introduced to an area, and it has negative effects on the ecosystem.
Okay, gotcha.
Because there are some organisms that are just residents. They don't cause any negative impact on the environment, and they just live there.
Okay.
But yeah, so this I want to talk about are what you might call cryptic invasive species. And what I mean by that is like These are invasive species that people will not mainly think of when I tell you invasive species.
Okay.
So here's a, I'm going to first give you a short list of just 10 from the list of 100 of the world's worst invasive species.
And okay.
I got this from the IUCN Global Invasive Species Database.
Okay.
They are the black wattle, which is a shrub, giant African land snail.
Oh, there's a lot of trees. Yeah. Yeah.
Common myna, which is a species of starling, a little bird.
You said that was such venom in your voice. Fucking bird.
Yeah. Tiger mosquito, yellow crazy ants.
Name.
Yeah. Asian longhorn beetle, crayfish plague, which is a species of water mold.
Ew. Everything about that's awful.
Yeah. The shoe button ardisia, which is a species of evergreens.
Okay.
Giant cane, which people are probably calling that more often elephant grass.
Okay.
And the northern Pacific sea star, just to name a few.
Okay.
Notice I only named one vertebrate in that whole list.
I don't remember who it was.
It was the bird, the common myna. Because a lot of the invasive species actually cause a lot of harm to the environment people would never think of.
Yeah.
And so these are typically smaller organisms, non- a vertebrate invasive species. They still cause a lot of damage, and people often don't think twice about them. And I'm going to go through a few examples and over the impact that they can have.
Okay.
So what would you say is one, this is just a simple one, what would you say is a key aspect of having a garden?
That it's more natural so that you can...
What's in the dirt?
Oh, the soil. The nutrients and the manure and the poop. That's also manure.
Yeah.
Fertilizer.
Yeah. So basically what I'm trying to get around is to non-native earthworms.
Oh, I was not going to get that, Casey.
Yes. So in areas with invasive earthworms, they found that the forest floor, they lost 75% of the plant cover.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because earthworms are important for, like, recycling nutrients and composition of the soil and stuff like that. And they also found that the understory of forests, those are plants near the bottom of the floor, that they declined from over 10 species of plants in an area to just one or two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So is it because these little earthworms suck at their job, or they're...
No, it's because they are invasive species, but they're also an ecosystem engineer. Because their activities, like what they eat and moving around the soil, dictates the nutrient composition of the soil, which is a key aspect of what determines what plants can survive there.
Okay.
And so they're both invasive species and an ecosystem engineer, which makes them a pest.
Okay.
Yep. And another one, which is actually probably here in California, is tamarix. It's also called salt cedar. It is very absorbent and has been known to clog rivers when it overgrows.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah, it has been found to impact irrigation water, hydropower, and municipal water.
That makes sense.
Yep. It just absorbs up a lot of the water in river systems, and it causes $285 million in damages each year.
Wow. Yep. Yep. Evil little plant.
Yes. And another plant is called kudzu.
That.
Yes, it's it was brought over as kind of this forage crop and just to help cover the place to prevent the soil from eroding. And the problem is it grows like crazy. It just absolutely covers everything. It smothers other plants and blocks out sunlight.
Wow.
Yep. It costs $100 to $500 million lost in forest productivity. And actually, power companies have to spend $1.5 million each year to fix power lines.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is last one I'm going to talk about is one I learned very recently. Argentina ants.
Okay.
Yeah. So main reason these guys are so bad is because they're just like the ultimate automaton of ants. Because like they might... First off, ants are... Most of ants will have like this split of labor and have major and minor ant casts, major also being called soldier ants, but these guys aren't. So everyone does the same kind of work, and so typically that division of labor would be advantageous, but with them, all the ants can just do everything, and they're very ravenous feeders, and they can easily outcompete a lot of native species, and that's especially a problem here in California, because some of the species that we have that are most affected are our native army ants, as well as our harvester ants, and these are both very ecologically important because they're involved in seed dispersals and pollination.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So they're disrupting a lot of ecosystems and have caused some local extinctions in California.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
There's no solution on what to do with any of this, though?
There's research being done on how to manage them. As there are several things you can do, is like removal is one option, but sometimes it's not feasible because it can be very costly and it may not work. One thing that works quite well is biological control. Where that is basically you study the natural history of the pest you have, and then you go over and bring the predator of that pest over.
And that can screw things up a lot, too.
Yeah.
They've done that before, right? With various... There was something somewhere.
Cane toads.
Is that how that started?
Yes. Yeah. Cane toads were brought over to Australia to keep down the population of cane beetles.
Yes.
Problem is they did not do proper isolation or studies of the cane toad and cane beetle, because if they did, they would have seen that they didn't eat any of the cane beetles, instead ate everything else.
And caused massive issues.
But biological control does actually have good history in terms of success. My university actually was the first case to use successful biological control in the United States when they brought over the Vidalia beetle to regulate the population of cottony cushion scales, which was ruining the citrus industry over in California.
Okay.
You just need to do proper research, which can be difficult because a lot of these pests are insects, and sometimes the information is just not available on their life histories and what roles they play in the ecosystem or what regulates them at all.
And they're not charismatic, so people don't want to give them funding to research those things, I imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's the good thing with, like, if you look at the entomology programs like UCR, where I am getting my degree at, and then one of the universities in Florida, I don't know which one, are the top entomology programs in the world. And it stems from big fact that a lot of money is invested in
agriculture.
Assuming, yeah. Yep.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that, like, San Luis Obispo would then be.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah. And then there's also, you can, with, like, the plants, you can try insecticides. But then there's certain plants, like the giant reeds. You can try to cut it down, but then they try to spray them down with herbicides. Problem is they have the defense mechanism, where if you cut the stem, it encapsulates where it's cut, so nothing can get in.
Oh.
And then it just grows back.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah. And then sometimes with just their life cycles, like mustard, wherever mustard invades, it's just staying there. Because, like, the perennial plant, it all sprouts out at once and all dies at the same time and then just sprouts back up again.
No. I don't even like mustard. Forget mustard.
I hate mustard.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
Great, we're in agreement.
Woo! But yeah, just giving a little thought on...
just trying to terrify, like, us at the end of the year?
I'm trying to make people more aware, like, it's not always the big and obvious things that are so important. Because, like, with the safari park, they have that very rigorous check system to make sure you don't have any butterflies on you when you leave.
Yeah.
And people just...
They try to get out still.
Yeah. But I always try to explain to people, it's like, it's very important they actually do this. Most of these are coming from butterfly aviaries, where they're nowhere in the United States, all foreign species. You don't want these getting out into the ecosystem. Then if they propagate and displace our native species, that can absolutely ruin the ecosystem, because several plant species occupy a certain niche. Based on things like nutrients in the soil, like I explained with the earthworms, how they have an impact.
Yeah.
But also some plants, all the nutrients and other things they need to fill their niche are available in other environments, but they can't live there because a certain pollinator that they rely on is not present. That's the limiting factor.
Yeah.
And most insects that do pollinate, very species specific. And so if that pollinator gets eliminated, that plant will as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little scary. Yeah. Good times.
Yes.
Time for the holidays. I promise we have better news coming up in future episodes.
Maybe.
Continuing with scary, I guess, or cautionary. So we figure it is the holiday time, and a lot of times people get pets for presents. And not just pets for presents, but just having your pets around with new things in the house. So I figured in this little segment of pet advice, we would go over dangerous things for your pets. Mostly being consumables, things they're going to eat, which if you have cats like I've had in the past, is everything, especially any plant. And I got these from the FDA and also from the American Veterinary Association, something like that. Anyway, and they are mostly the same things, but I just want to go through a quick list of these things because some things are very obvious. First thing on the list is beyond obvious, but other things you wouldn't think of. So,
all right.
This is mostly for the kitties and doggies, but there are other ones for birds and other animals. So, alcoholic drinks and food products containing alcohol. No shit. I'm shocked. Avocado. And that one is saying it's only mildly toxic to dogs and kitties, but is severely toxic to birds, rabbits, horses, ruminants, such as cattle, goats, and sheep. Also, if you do not know this about horses already, they cannot throw up. So if they ingest anything that they can't process, they just die.
It makes me curious about, like, where I'm from, because where I live, we have a lot of avocados.
We did, where I grew up, too. They saved our house from burning from fires. Thank you, avocado growth. They also hurt when you, wow, this is a rabbit trail. We used to go horseback riding, and they hurt when they smack you in the head, because the horses like to bring you right next to the trees.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you're not paying attention, you get smacked in the head with an avocado. But I do appreciate them for saving our house.
Also, just as a side note, this is weird. I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm just weird.
Okay.
I love guacamole.
No, ew.
But I don't like avocado on my sandwiches.
That is funny. But you're a better Californian than me. Yeah. I'm terrible. I am rejected as a Californian because I don't like avocado. Avocado?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't like avocado at all. I don't like guacamole either.
Okay, so one of my... This rabbit trail. I'm trying to make it quick.
Rabbit trail at the rabbit trail.
Yes, but some of my friends, she and her friends, went over to Spain. Mm-hmm. And so...
Oh, okay.
It's just me judging. And so she did not eat Mexican food for a month because she felt like she was going to go get some genuine Mexican food over in Spain.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Spain is Mediterranean food.
Yeah, Spain and Mexico are different.
And so when she got there... No Mexican food.
No.
And so then they went over to France little bit after that. I want to see what the waiter and store restaurant owner were thinking because, like, my friends, they asked for just a salad with just the avocado. Literally just ordered an avocado to eat.
Like, what? Like, don't you know you're in France where we have the fine cuisine? Anyway.
Like snails?
No, ew, gross.
I would love to try it.
Ew, no, thank you. You want to eat weird things. Anyway, back to the point,
folks. They're delicious. They can be delicious.
I disagree. Back to the point. Okay, so avocados are everywhere. Caffeine. It's not good for them. Chocolate. Most people knew that one already. Don't give your animals chocolate. It's really bad for them. Fatty foods. I mean, that just goes for all of us, right?
Define fatty.
Garlic, grapes, and raisins. So that's one I didn't know about. Macadamia nuts, marijuana.
Dude.
Obvious.
My cousins had a macadamia nut tree in their yard and they had dogs.
Yeah, no, don't let them eat that. Also, this should be pretty obvious, but medicine intended for people. You know, any anti-inflammatory stuff like aspirin, ibuprofen may not be right for your pet. Now, there are pet versions of these things, but if you drop any kind of medication on the ground, make sure your animal does not eat it. Onions, also dangerous. Salt. Not really sure why, but okay.
Tobacco. Can't be getting high blood pressure.
No, don't want to give them the high blood pressure. Tobacco products, again, obvi.
You shouldn't be having those either.
Yeah, exactly. Xylitol, which is that sweetener that Casey was talking about that's in peanut butter, is in all kinds of other things. So anything that has that in it, which honestly...
It's in sugar-free gum, too.
Yeah, it just...
By the way, gum's basically plastic.
Cool, great. I chew plastic. Very good. And yeast products like raw bread dough. So that's some of them. And then they kind of also break down... I would suggest going to these sites, actually. They break down some of the more why things are dangerous. There's all kinds of different things, and a lot of them are kind of actually scary. Also, there's things that are not edible. You can't see my finger quotes. but like food bags and stuff. Obviously, they shouldn't be eating any kind of bag. That should be clear. One thing that is listed, and I can tell you from experience, string-like toys. They can get tangled in their intestines, and if you do not get them surgically removed, your pet will die, most likely, yep. If they can't pass them. So I got to do that with Affy when she was 3. There's a bunch of non-edible dangers, which are really obvious, like antifreeze and...
Yeah, if it's in, like...
like fabric softeners.
If it's in murder documentaries, I think it's safe to say it's not good for your pet.
And, like, insecticides, pesticides, that's pretty obvious, right? All of this stuff is pretty obvious. I don't think there's anything that's not obvious in that. There are also a ton of plants. So I'm not going to hit all of them. There's so many. But almond, apricot, cherry, nectarine, peach, plum trees, and shrubs. Anything that has like a pit in it is generally what's going to be a problem. Aloe vera. We always have that on hand because that's, you know, a medicinal thing.
By the way, don't use raw aloe vera. It's very bad for your skin.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we definitely did. When we got like sunburns.
Oh my God.
You put it on sunburns.
You'll put on raw aloe vera.
Well, we
use the synthetic stuff.
Well, I'm alive, so it's fine. chrysanthemums are. I'm just going to skip through a few here.
That's a kind of... daylilies. There's a pesticide derived from those.
True lilies, dogbane. I think that's obvious in the name.
Yeah.
I'm just going to skip through. Hibiscus, didn't know that was dangerous to them. That's a new one. Hydrangea, I think I've heard that one before being a problem. There's a whole list. I will link the links, wow, to these as well. But I'm just trying to look. Oleander, I know that's another one. Poinsettia, that's the one.
Oleander's deadly for anyone.
Yeah, oleander just is bad. But poinsettia, that's the one around Christmas. If you have pets, just don't have it, period. Everything else, yeah, it's obvious. And then, of course, they do have a poison control center. So if your pet does ingest anything, there is a pet poison hotline that you can call. I guess I'll give you that phone number, but hopefully you're not getting that from this podcast, which is 855-764-7661, and they also have a website for that you can link to. What?
I'm thinking about an Instagram video of, like, when dogs got into their owner's edibles.
Yeah, and they get super high. It's so sad.
Yeah.
Then obviously there's just all kinds of medications, like antidepressants, acetaminophen, any of that stuff, cold medicines, antihistamines. All that stuff. If it's a prescription drug, or if really if it's a drug of any kind, just maybe don't give it to your pet. And then, of course, I mean, a lot of stuff is really obvious, honestly, like cleaning products. They shouldn't be there, clearly. The only other foods that were not on the other list, because this one, I believe, came from the Veterinary Association, tea, also listed. Yeah, I know. And I think that's the only thing that they didn't list on the other.
I think you didn't list garlic.
No, garlic was,
oh, it was?
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing that was not listed on the other one was tea. And then obviously they're talking about, and I didn't know that for birds, I just learned this. It's not the page I want. I don't know where that is in my notes, but birds can actually die from scented things. So like air fresheners and cooking and stuff. So apparently keep your bird away from the kitchen because you can actually kill your bird with cooking. Yeah.
They have highly sensitive respiratory systems.
So yeah, so that's really important that you'll keep your birdies away from that. I guess here's my thing. Just any inhaled thing is basically really bad for them. And then they have another poison control number too. So anyway, basically call the poison control, take your pet to a vet if they eat any of these things. To be fair, our dog did eat. I made these like chocolate chunk cookies one day, and I had them on the coffee table, and I was sitting on the couch, and he was laying there sleeping at my feet, sleeping. So I was like, I just have to throw something away really fast. So I put the plate in the middle of the table so he couldn't easily get to it. I was gone for 30 seconds maybe, plate's like half empty, over half empty. And I'm just like, oh my God. So he was fine. Yeah. But depending on it, you might have to take your pet mm-hmm. to the vet if they eat chocolate, because they're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Silly pets. But yeah, so just be aware of that. I think for me, the most surprising one was grapes. I didn't know about that. And I'm pretty sure our dogs have had grapes before, so now we know not to give them that.
Yep.
And probably don't buy Avoderm. Because it's, you know, oh, that's not what I want.
I also just, I'm sorry, but that seems like such a weird branding idea. Avocados for pets.
Because people like avocados, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, so that's that. So just be aware of things that you might not think are toxic. I would recommend that you check these out yourself. And I will put up links to the FDA site on that and then also the American Veterinary Association for that. But you know who's immune to some dangerous consumables, Casey?
Who?
Vultures.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love that I'm telling you this when this was your pick.
Yes.
There you go. So what are our favorites this week, Casey?
So my favorite, I have to specify, I said African vultures.
Okay. That's true.
Yep. So my favorite African vulture is the Egyptian vulture.
Also my favorite, but he won.
Yes.
Much like the whale shark.
My choice, my priority.
Okay. Here we go.
So the scientific name is Neophron percnopterus. These guys weigh about 1.5 to 2 kilograms, and their wingspan is about 1.6 meters, so a little bit less than my height.
Okay.
I think that's a little over 5 feet.
We should really just memorize the the metric to...
No.
Oh, okay.
Imperial system is useless, so we will not use it here.
But, okay. But most of our listeners.
I don't care. Learn metrics.
Okay. Wow.
Especially if you're a STEM major.
Okay.
Anyways, these guys are 68 centimeters long. They're a whitish to grayish color on most of their body, and they have this bald head like other vultures, except theirs is yellow.
Yeah.
And these guys are actually a monogamous species, which is not surprising in birds.
Nope.
And in the wild, they're not particularly well researched, so they don't know their lifespan in the wild, but in captivity they can live up to be 37 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're among the few birds to use tools.
Yay.
Yeah. So they'll eat like other birds' eggs, especially ostrich eggs. So they'll go pick up a rock, walk over to the ostrich neck and crack it open.
Wow.
Then eat the embryo.
Yeah, well, it's sad fact of nature.
Yes. They will also feed on carcasses like other vultures do. But these guys are more in the middle of the pecking order in terms of vultures who get priority. Because the larger griffins, other vultures, like Rapel's vultures, are much larger. So they get first priority, get all the good parts first.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll notice like their beaks are kind of narrow and smaller. And so they're good at ripping off the flesh from the bone.
Okay.
But because of this, this is my hypothesis that they may not get all their nutrients by this. So they will also eat animal dung.
Ew.
And it's most likely to get certain nutrients that are lacking in their diet because they don't get all the nutrition organ meat that the larger vultures get to have first. And just like other vultures, these guys are very important for ecosystems because they are immune to a lot of bacteria, pathogens, and that helps prevent reservoirs of disease building up that could spread throughout the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very good garbage disposals. And they are also important in ancient Egyptian culture.
Okay.
They were on a lot of monuments, and they were also a part of their alphabet.
Oh, that's cool. Yep.
And these guys have no special status under CITES, and they are currently listed as endangered by the IUCN Red List. The global population is about 12 to 38,000 mature individuals, and it is currently in decline. And it has been extirpated from most of its range in the southern half of Africa.
Okay. I think they're just really cool looking.
Yeah.
I think they're a really unique looking vulture. I feel like they don't look like all the other vultures.
Yes.
You know what I mean? All right. Well, is that it for the Egyptian?
That is for the Egyptian.
Woohoo! Wow.
I had
Casey
to.
Casey is dancing like an Egyptian. Walking like an Egyptian. That's not in that song. Not dancing.
It's yeah. Walking. It's walking like an Egyptian. Mm-hmm.
All right. So my favorite vulture, which Casey also informed me, is apparently not actually a vulture, which is BS. because I looked it up on a site that said it was a vulture, but whatever. But we'll get into it. Mine is the palm nut vulture. I'm going to kill the scientific name as per usual. Gypohyrax. Hyrax. Mm-hmm. We're going with that. Angolinensis. Angolinensis. Mm-hmm. Adults are all white except for the black on the wings. Mm-hmm. They rely more on flapping flight rather than soaring. On thermals, like many of the other old world vulture species. When flying, they resemble more of an eagle. And what was it you were saying, Casey? They're probably more, well, they're
so,
their own thing you were saying.
Yeah, they'll be like called vulturine eagles. They're a monotypic species, which means they're the only species in their genus. And so people call them vulturine eagles. They are probably some kind of intermediate species between
eagles
the
and vultures, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. Anyway, so as we were getting into it, dispute of whether or not it is a true vulture, current evidence suggests that it is more closely related to snake eagles than old world vultures. Would a snake, no. I was like, would a snake eagle be like my secretary bird, but it's not an eagle. But it goes after snakes.
It is a raptor, so it might
it
be.
It is a raptor.
But I don't think it's technically an eagle.
Anyway. That's obviously refresher, my favorite bird of prey. Anywho's, and they are primarily frugivores, which obviously is very different than most vultures. So most of their diet comes from fruit off the raffia palm and the oil palm, probably hence the name palm nut vulture. they occasionally feed on small animals like fletchlings, rodents, fish, and invertebrates. That's sad. well, fletchlings, come on, that's sad.
They're vulnerable.
I know.
Finger food.
That's me, Casey. you would steal candy from a baby, wouldn't you?
Yes. Especially if it's Reese's.
First of all, a baby shouldn't have candy. But smallest of the old world vultures, they are...
Air quotes,
right. Well, smallest of the vultures. I'm still calling it a vulture. So many animals we have covered are not what their name is.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. But they are 1.3 to 1.7 kilograms. They are 60 centimeters long and have a 1.5 meter wingspan. That is small for a vulture, I feel like. Wow. For not real vulture. Even for an eagle, that's small. they are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. You know I'm still not going to know this. Wait, International Union for the Conservation of Nature?
Yes.
Yay!
Do you remember what CITES is?
Definitely not. No. It's endangered, not species, whatever. And their population is currently assessed as stable. I'm not going to lie, as I choose most things that I know nothing about when we get into it, I chose them because of their looks.
Yep.
But they're cool looking.
She's basic.
Whatever. who's that weirdo?
Me being weird.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you your favorite dog breed at some point, and you can be.
Dog breeds are a lie.
But it's not. So the palm nut vulture and the Egyptian vulture are our favorite African vultures.
Yes.
Kind of. Mostly.
Yeah.
But vultures are just, I feel like you should take a moment to just say that vultures are really important. And a lot of people think that they're ugly and bleh, but like they serve a really important purpose.
Yep.
In every ecosystem. And without them, we'd be up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. Especially with plague.
Well, we have plague right now, but also I
no
just,
like actual plague.
I would like to say that I think my Irish blood was just like a plague. We got this. It's fine. Anywho's, so yeah.
We actually talked about plague in my entomology class and how it's in the squirrels.
It's in the squirrels. That sounds so like.
Like literally the black plague. It's carried by the tick, the fleas, and that are on squirrels. That's why you shouldn't be feeding squirrels.
So you don't get the plague?
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
they don't say rabies. They don't say plague.
Oh, actually, one of my TAs, somewhere he hikes, it says, don't feed the squirrels, plague in area.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only about 2,000 cases per year here in the United States. I think.
What's the, like, the survival rate on that?
It's actually very easy to treat.
I was saying,
we just give them antibiotics early on, you're perfectly fine.
Okay, great.
Problem is, back then, nobody had any kind of treatments.
I mean, I almost kind of want to get it just so I can say I've had the plague. But, like, I don't, obviously.
Yeah, and there's three different kinds of plagues. One's very bad compared to the other ones. And if you get that one, you die within 24 hours.
Oh, well, I don't want to get that.
Yeah.
I also really just don't want to get a plague.
Yeah.
I'm happy enough to say I survived COVID. Thank you.
That's the funny thing is, like, there's entomologists that will go to, like, the tropics. They get bot fly larvae laid in their skin.
Ew.
And they wear they come back wearing that with a sense of pride.
Ew, gross. No. That is definitely a no. Gross. Okay, well, let's move on into nicer things, shall we, Casey?
Yes.
This is more pleasant.
It's a bit more cutesy.
It is more cutesy, and this was an unofficial request, but also I was like, you know what? They're not that well known.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this animal. Ugh, let's get to our terrible drum rolls. And our animal of the week is...
The dick-dick.
The dick-dick. They're definitely dicks, by the way. They are. They are. Tell us about them.
Okay. So these guys are from the order Artiodactyl, so they're... That means even-toed ungulate, like, it's basically a little antelope, so they're in the family Bovidae, and their species name is Madoqua kirki, because this is specifically the Kirk's dick-dick,
okay,
because there's about four different species of dick-dick. This is one that had the easiest accessible information.
Okay, there we go.
Yep. So these guys live in southeastern region of Somalia, central and southern Kenya, and northern and central Tanzania, as well as southwestern Angola and Namibia. And they live in dense kind of shrubbery habitat, kind of sort of like around here, but not really.
Okay.
Yep. So lifespan in the wild is unknown, but probably only a few years because the generation time is only about 3.6 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I would probably estimate like maybe five, maybe six.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But in captivity, it's about 17 years.
Okay.
And they are very small. This species is only about 3 to 6 kilos.
Yeah, they're cute.
Yep. And they're 52 to 67 centimeters long. They actually have a surprisingly long tail, 35 to 55 millimeters. Millimeters, not centimeters. They're only about 30 to 40 centimeters tall. So, like... about a foot.
It's like, a foot or so.
Yep. And just like other antelopes, they are herbivores. And they have a really high metabolic rate because they're tiny,
mm-hmm.
jumpy, mm-hmm. and jittery. And so they need a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And the vegetation they eat is primarily low in fibers and is easily digestible. Because when you have such a high metabolic rate, you need to be able to get access to nutrients pretty easily. So about 80% of their diet is leaves from trees and shrubs. 17% comes from grasses, and about 3% comes from herbs and sedges.
What's a sedge?
It's kind of like a low-bearing, non-woody plant.
Okay. I feel like that's a shrub.
No, shrubs are woody.
Oh, God, I don't know the difference. Okay, great.
Yep. So these are... What was that going to pop?
What the heck? Remember how you were gonna mess with me? That's rude.
I honestly don't remember.
I don't feel bad for you.
Okay, so it's a sexually dimorphic species.
Okay.
Oh, no, I remember.
Oh.
Only males have horns. Now, Allie.
Yes.
Difference between horns and antlers.
One they keep forever and one they shed.
Yes. Anything else?
Oh. One is fuzzy? No. doesn't it have fuzzy shit on it?
Kind of, technically.
Like, at the end, like, yeah, on the edges.
Okay, so, difference is, horn is keratin, antlers are bone.
Oh, okay. No, I wasn't going to get that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I never...
Wait! Mm-hmm. But antlers are the ones they shed.
Yes. Yeah.
They shed bone?
Yes, they shed bone.
Ugh! Ew, gross! And ow! Does that hurt? Oh my god, okay. That's terrifying.
Oh my gosh. That was enjoyable. I'm
happy I could entertain you with my dramatic reaction that no one could see.
Yeah, so I'm pretty They have dick dicks at the safari park. I don't think it's this species. But this species, they actually have a kind of little proboscis. It's a little bit of an extended snout.
Yeah, mm-hmm, they do.
Yep. And basically, this is to help keep the animal cool because there's a lot of blood vessels in there. And when there's obvious mucus in the snout, so when that evaporates, it helps remove some of the heat in exchange for and cools down the blood in the blood vessels.
Hmm. So many interesting ways that animals keep themselves cool.
Yes.
Keep themselves cool.
Mm-hmm. And these guys reach sexual maturity very quickly.
Oh.
Females are sexually mature at 6 months.
Oh, man.
And males at 12 months.
Wow.
And they are among the few mammals that are monogamous.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Especially for antelope, that is weird. Yep. But this is where you get the little bit miney horror.
Oh, God.
Females will only nurse for about 6 weeks. And the young are kicked out at about 7 months of age. Females will kick out the daughters and males kick out the sons.
Oh, that's so weird.
I know.
It's because they're mama's boys and daddy's girls. And they had to be like, oh,
yeah. It's time sons, to go. The male offspring may be able to stick around for a little bit if they're like, submit to the father whenever he like tries to challenge them for dominance.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also have a very, their survival rate is only about 50%.
Oh, gosh.
Yep.
Well, they live with so many predators and they're so mm-hmm. little.
Yes. And I was always curious about how they got the name Dick Dick.
Yeah.
So, it's so stupid. Okay. But when they are startled, they will bolt in like a zigzag and leap. And when they're doing this, they make a call, and it kind of sounds like zick, zick.
Oh.
And so that comes Dick, Dick, and that's how they get their name.
I mean, a zick, zick would have been a cooler name.
I think I'm pronouncing that right. It has a Z.
Okay.
But yeah, comes from the vocal they make when they're scared.
Oh.
Yep. And they actually have an important relationship with larger herbivores, because in the... They are specialized more for like a shrubby kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a larger antelope called a kudu that will eat the tops of shrubs.
Yeah.
And that limits how tall the shrubs will be able to grow to like shade out lower growing plants.
Mm-hmm.
I can't talk today. And then the zebra will feed on the grass, and that helps prevent them from overgrowing and outcompeting the other plants. And that helps keep... This all helps keep the shrubs at a level that is good for the dick dicks to feed from.
Okay.
They are currently listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List, and the population is stable. They do not have any special status under CITES.
But they're cute. But they are dicks. So what, okay, what are the animals that they're, it's not the bongos. It's, I don't think it's the bongos at least, at the wild animal park before you get on the tram thing. You know that little thing out in front of the tram, that enclosure?
Mm-hmm.
They used to be in there with those.
Hmm.
But they were literally such little dicks, they got kicked out. And I was watching one day, and because the, it's not bongos, I don't think it's the bongos, but whatever those are.
Kudu.
Is it kudu out there?
Yeah.
Is it a lesser kudu? Because
it is lesser kudu.
That's probably why. Okay. So it's lesser kudu out there, and the lesser kudu had babies, and the dick dick was being a dick to the babies. And it would, like, kick the parents and stuff. And I was like, you are literally a dick. So that's why I figured they got the name. They're little dicks. Little assholes. They're so mean. They would, like, run around the babies and kick the adults. And I was like, you're mean. And then when I went, I mean, this happened, like, years ago. But I went back and I never saw the dick dicks out there after that experience. And I think they were just, even Red the Zebra used to be out in the main enclosure, too. And they were being little dicks and eating giraffe tails. So they got kicked out, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but they are cute, but they have little attitudes.
Yeah.
They just have that, you know, chihuahua.
Chihuahua complex.
Yeah. All right, well, Casey.
Allie.
Even though these are not deer, exactly,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have my notes in front of me, but at least I have that one memorized. What is a deer's favorite flavor of ice cream?
Deer's what? I have no clue.
Cookie dough.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
That's actually my sister's favorite flavor.
It's also my favorite flavor.
Mine's mint.
Mint chocolate chip. Woo. Yes.
My sister says I'm going to hell because I like mint chip.
That is why. That's so weird.
She sent me this video a guy made, and he was making the argument that if you like mint chip ice cream, you're going to hell.
I guess I'm also going to hell, but I'm also basic, and I like cookies, so I don't know. Those are my two favorite. And then because you let me forget, I've forgotten you let me puns last time. We have to do two of these first two episodes. We don't have to, but... So, Casey, you're, you know, in school.
Yes.
What is a bird's favorite math class?
I don't know.
Algebra.
Oh my gosh.
I love it so much. Mm-hmm. He looks so annoyed. Anyway, yeah, two puns. Cookie dough.
Good lord. You have a problem.
I love him. It's great.
You ready, Allie?
No, but. That's not going to change, so...
Nope. So anyway, I need my timer. I decided for this week I will challenge you on your knowledge of African animals.
Okay.
And I feel like you will fail.
I feel like I'm decent with this, but you made it hard, didn't you?
I don't think I did.
Oh, God. I'm going to see how this goes.
Yes. So I will give you 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute? For the whole thing?
Eh, let's do it 1.5. Actually, no, I remember last time I did this, and I...
Okay, thank you.
You'll get two.
Okay.
So,
I'm
not
looking at your notes, I'm sorry.
Yep. So, your goal is to get 90 to 100, okay. When you'll be the queen of Africa.
Woo!
Or 80 to 89, you'll be a lioness.
Okay.
70 to 79, you're a hunted wildebeest.
Aww.
And 69 or below, you're a carcass being feasted upon by vultures.
Wow. That's mean. I will say wildebeest did kill Mufasa, so I mean, kind of. I guess the fall killed Mufasa.
Yeah. I should. I'll know it. I'll know it.
What was that?
I'll see.
Casey's having a little fly around party.
All right.
Okay.
So.
I'm buckling down. Here we go. Here we go.
Going to start. And how many big cats are endemic to Africa?
Endemic meaning they live there before or they're still there?
That they only live there.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I'm going to say 2.
No, none.
Oh, because they live in Asia. Fuck. Okay, that's why.
True or false, most of the great ape species are found in Africa.
I'm going to say false.
It's true.
Damn it!
So there's no bonus. Or... Okay, I'll do a follow-up anyway. What is the total number of species you think there are?
In a great apes total or that are in Africa?
Africa.
5.
Close. 4.
Okay.
What kind of gait do giraffe and okapi have?
A pacing gait.
Yes. How many elephant species are in Africa?
2.
Correct. True or false, rhinos with 2 horns are only found in Africa?
I don't know. I'm going to say true.
Correct. What is the most dangerous animal in Africa?
It is the hippo.
No, mosquito.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, I'm thinking the big 5, but yes.
True or false, the largest bird of prey by weight is from Africa.
Oh my God, didn't we talk about this?
Possibly.
Shit. No, that's from South America.
That is correct. True or false, largest of the big
cats. I said that's from South America. Oh, you're saying the largest bird of prey is in Africa. Okay, yes, no. Okay.
True or false, the largest of the big cats live in Africa?
False.
Correct. What animal is responsible for the largest migration in Africa?
Wildebeest.
Correct. True or false, our closest living relative is the chimpanzee?
True, right?
False.
Who is it?
Bonobos.
Oh, fuck, it's bonobos.
What is the largest species of tortoise in Africa?
Not the Galapagos. Cicada?
Correct.
Okay.
What is the tallest bird of prey in Africa?
Is that my secretary bird?
Yes.
Yay!
All right.
Oh, I'm a carcass, probably. I'm hoping to be a wildebeest.
I have to count.
Okay. Do 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 do
You were so close.
Am I a carcass?
Yes, you're a carcass. You got a total of 65.
That was hard.
I didn't think so.
I mean, I should have been at least a wildebeest. Yeah. I should have been able to get that. But yeah.
Okay. I did have only one question left that you didn't get to.
What?
What group of mammals is endemic to Madagascar?
Lemurs.
Yes.
Would have gotten that one. Damn.
By the way, the four species of great ape in Africa are...
Gorilla.
Eastern gorilla.
Oh, okay.
Western gorilla. Bonobo. And chimpanzee.
Okay. What are the other great apes then?
That's the four. Oh, that's you it? Mean in the world?
Yeah, in the world.
Only other ones are orangutans. And there's three of those.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Well, there you go. I learned something new today. Sort of.
Education.
Education. You also, at some, okay, I request in the new year that you give me a Jeopardy because so far you have fake money and I don't have fake money. So, there we go. That's rude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is oh, also folks, this is our 18th episode. This is the one that can vote in America and can drink most places, but not here.
Nope.
And yeah, we're a legal adult. Our podcast in number, not in age, obviously. Yeah. But thank you for joining us on this kind of dust off episode because yep. We've been gone for so long. as always, thank you for listening to the Animal Addicts Podcast, where I'm your host, Allie.
And Casey.
And we will catch you on the next episode of Animal Addicts Podcast. Okay.